Welcome to the Weight Loss Podcast, where we offer solutions to the obstacles you face when it comes to achieving your health and fitness goals. As a married couple who has lost a combined weight of 100 kilograms and 11 clothes sizes, our raw, real, and relatable stories will show you the path you must walk to achieve, and more importantly, maintain the results you know you can reach. Because we know it works. So get ready to share the success and show the results with your hosts, Matt and Courtney.
Hello and welcome to the Weight Loss Podcast, back for season 12. My name is Courtney.
I'm Matt, if you don't know by now.
And if you didn't listen to the intro, which also told you that...
Or the other 200 episodes that we've done over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
That's crazy. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it has.
Jeez Louise.
So yeah, welcome back to season 12. This episode, we're going to be having a discussion about why comparing yourself to others sucks.
And is a complete waste of time.
And is indeed a complete waste of time. So let's dive straight in.
Let's.
I want to ask you a question.
Ask away.
Okay. Why is this a problem?
Why is comparing yourself to others a problem?
Yeah.
I think it's a huge problem because I think there's a lot of different answers to that question.
What's the number one?
I think the number one that pops to my mind first would be that the biggest problem with comparing yourself to others is derailing your own, I want to use the word journey, but I also don't want to use the word journey. It's derailing your own path to your own goal.
Throws you off track?
Yes. That would be my number one answer.
Why?
Because the more I feel, especially my own personal experience, the more you compare yourself to others, the more you convince yourself potentially, sometimes even unknowingly, you convince yourself that the person you're comparing yourself to is the goal, or what their goal is your goal,
mm-hmm.
or what their path to get there has to be your path to get there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is unconscious. You just unconsciously sort of veer off course. And then I think the more then you fixate on comparing yourself to others, then the more confusing it gets, right? Because everyone's doing maybe potentially different things. Everyone has had a different path to get where they are. Sometimes you don't even know the path that they've taken to get where they are. You're just looking at the end result and potentially comparing yourself to that without any knowledge at all of how they got there. So that's where I think it can be the most detrimental, is just completely veering you off course from the goals you've set personally for yourself and the path that you've sort of laid out for yourself to get there.
What would the other reasons you mentioned be why this is an issue? You said that's the main one.
I think that's the main one. Yeah. I think that it can also lead, like, then there's a flow-on effect, so I think it can lead to bad habits creeping back in, especially if you're someone who, say, is an emotional eater.
Yeah.
I think that it can affect your mental health severely.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yes.
And then that's where it can lead to those bad habits coming back in, because if you're feeling your mental health is being affected, that's where, in my experience, the emotional eating, things like that, comes back into play. And then if your mental health is being affected by things like that, then it's easier as well for you to skip workouts, to take shortcuts, which is counterproductive, right? And it doesn't make any sense when you logically put it out like that. You're like, well, why would somebody take shortcuts or skip workouts if they're comparing themselves to others and they want to be better and they want to look like a certain way? But it's falling into that mental health trap of just really putting yourself down.
Okay.
And you can fall into that trap of really thinking that you're worthless, that nothing you ever try is going to be good enough, that sort of negative mental spiral that you can get into.
Sounds like shifting the goalpost on yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one. What else?
I got one.
Yeah.
It's unfair.
It is unfair.
It's unfair on yourself because, like, you are where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's also unfair on the person you are comparing yourself to.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they've gone through to get to where they are. You don't see what they do when you're not looking at them or checking out their stuff or whatever. You don't see where they started. You don't see the things they had to overcome to get to where they are. The times that they could have had the opportunity to give up, to do something else, to throw in the towel. So it's unfair on them, and it's very unfair on you, because it's the easy one here is that you are most likely comparing your 1% to someone else's 99%.
Yes.
And that's just not grounded in reality.
No.
To me, that's, from my perspective, that's the biggest issue I see with it. It's just unfair on everyone involved. It's unrealistic. And it just probably, in a way, kind of demeans you and what you're doing and the person you are comparing yourself to, because it just assumes that, oh, well, they got there pretty easy. Why can't I? I bet you they fucking didn't. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's had success will tell you with anything in life, like, it's not easy.
Yep.
Cool. All right. We've got in our notes here, social media is fucking fake.
It is.
What do we mean by this? I think this touches on what I said before about the 1% versus the 99%. Social media is a highlight reel.
It is. It is 100% a highlight reel. I think that social media is one of those interesting ones, right, because it's really only the last 20 years?
Only the last 20 years, yes.
But, I mean, it feels so different, right, because I didn't grow up with social media. So when I was a teenager, I didn't have it.
Mm.
So it does feel like
when I was a teenager, I had Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Good times.
You are old.
Fuck you.
And I feel old saying that, because it's like, oh, poor you. You didn't have social media when you were a teenager.
But first world problem.
I loved it. I loved not having social media when I was a teenager. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Question, how did you know that you loved not having it if it wasn't around?
Because I look at now. I look at, like,
oh, the hindsight.
The hindsight right now. And I think about school now. Like, there are no pictures of me at school other than my school picture.
Is that a good thing?
Well,
pictures are a document of your life.
They are.
Is that a good thing?
Okay, you could take it both ways then, okay, right? You could take, like, I feel like social media, this is like prime example of social media. There's always going to be a good side and a bad side. So, yes, good side in this particular scenario for me, yeah, I don't have a lot of pictures from when I was younger or in my teen years or at school and doing those sort of activities, things like that. See, I don't have pictures.
I wish you did, because I'd look at them.
But on the, like, so yeah, you could take that as a good thing or you could take that as a bad thing. So I feel like this is like perfect example of how social media works. I think there's a lot of good, but there's also a lot of bad.
Right.
And I think that the good is great with social media. I think keeping in touch with friends and family and reaching out to people and the connections that you can make with people around the world. We have an entire Facebook group full of people that we would never have met.
Well, let's take it a step further. Our entire business is built on that.
So we, like, social media can be fantastic for that.
Yes.
Sharing stories, sharing ideas, like support, like the support group that we've developed through our Facebook group on these platforms have been amazing.
Yes.
There's always going to be a fantastic upside. The downside can be on social media is that realistically people are showing you the best parts of their lives.
Yes, for sure.
It is a very curated version of what happens in someone's life.
Oh, yeah, it is. Curated is a good word to use. That's why the phrase highlight reel comes to mind, because all you're going to see is what someone is doing at their best or when they're doing what they think is what needs to be done, and you're then thinking, well, I don't do that all the time.
Yeah. And I think that
must be something wrong with me.
Like anything, I feel like you can see the bad. If you are in that headspace, you can see the bad in everything. So I feel like there's a lot of great on social media, lessons to be learned. I mean, I follow a lot of accounts on social media about books because I really love to read books. And
Sort of books?
I love hearing reviews on books, let's just say. So most of the people I tend to follow on social media aren't actually fitness people or anything like that. Most of the people I follow on social media are friends, family, and
personal interests.
Things about books, maybe things about cooking and recipes to get ideas. Things like that, like educational style things, things that I can learn from, sporting teams I follow, maybe sporting podcasts that I follow, things like that. I don't actually follow a lot of fitness people.
I've deliberately heavily reduced people in health and fitness, the amount of people in health and fitness I follow now. Like, I could probably put the lot of them on one hand.
Yeah. And I feel like you always, even if you don't follow a lot of health and fitness people, right, you're always then going to come across certain things in the health and fitness field.
Yeah.
Maybe it's friends, maybe it's family, people are tagged in things. So you're always still going to come across it.
You'll see shit.
But I think with social media, it's one of those double-edged swords. When it's great, it's really, really great, but you do have to be careful that you're not looking, that you're keeping a clear head when you're on social media and you're not looking at it as in this is everybody's life.
This might be the opportunity we've been looking for to add maybe your favorite word ever in the history of this podcast.
Perspective.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking at what others are doing online and just having a layer of perspective of there's more than this. And this is what helps me a lot, is understanding, like, if someone is showing off, this is all the great food that I made up. Here's me having a kick-ass workout. Well, I know there's things you aren't showing.
Yeah.
Because I've lived this life too.
Yeah.
I know there's workouts you've had that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's videos you took at the gym that didn't make the cut for whatever reason.
There's photo angles that were very unflattering.
That awesome selfie you took. I know there's probably 15 that you were horrified with and were like, no fucking way am I putting that up.
100%.
How do I know this? Because I've fucking done it.
100%. You've also seen girls in the gym. Like, I've seen girls in the gym taking selfies of themselves in front of the mirror and they're changing their angle constantly until they find the angle that makes their waist look the smallest.
Yes.
Like,
I posing's
part of
it too.
They do it. Yeah, they do it. Everyone does it and everybody wants to look good. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't take a lot of photos. If I have to put a photo up, I don't take several photos and then pick the best photo because I think you'd be lying. Everyone's lying if they say that they're not picking the best photo out of a bunch of photos.
To be fair, and it's understandable, you always want to represent yourself in the best way. And I'm with that.
Correct.
I'm with that. But it's you can apply that to yourself, but it's not applied when looking at what someone else is doing.
No.
Oh, well, that awesome photo that chick or that dude put up must be every photo they take. Yes. I fucking guarantee you it isn't.
Yes. And that's where the perspective comes in, right? Because we have to take a step back and remember not to judge on our very first thought because our very first thought sometimes isn't the best thought.
Your favorite book, The 5-Second Rule, does that apply here?
It could, definitely. I mean, I think like you could use that system for a lot of things. I mean, I think that one is really based off, you know, getting yourself moving and it could be based off decision-making, but it can also be based off formulating your own opinion. Like just take a breath and just try not to go with your very, very first thought and try to think about it rationally and put yourself in the other person's shoes and to think, okay, if I was taking that picture, would that have been the very first picture
first
I took and I posted it up without a second thought? You know, if I was waking up in the morning, would I look like that? You know, these girls who wake up in the morning with like perfect hair and
perfect makeup,
you know, just perfect skin and, you know, they have their coffee and they're chatting away.
That didn't roll out of bed, did it?
Would I look like that? No. Like I have curly hair. Like this is not good. This hair is not great in the morning, you know, and that's after I take off my super cute bonnet that I sleep in.
I was wondering if you'd go there.
Of course. All my curly hair girls will know about the silk scarf or bonnet for bed. It's super flattering and amazing. Like I'm not rolling out of bed looking amazing. Absolutely not. So I agree with you, Matt. I think you have to put a filter on when you and I feel like our brains just do this, I truly think, because I'm still guilty of this and I know this, right? I'm talking about it now and I still am guilty of this. I feel like our brains will just try to convince us like constantly throughout our lives of certain things. And it does it automatically for me. So my brain will look at a picture, and even I know this, my brain will still look at that picture and have a snap judgment. And it will definitely depend on the frame of mind I'm in. If I'm not potentially in a fantastic mental place, it's obviously going to be worse and quite demeaning inner self-talk that I'm going to have straight away. And that's where, for me, over the years, I've learned that I'm not necessarily always going to be able to stop that initial reaction that I have, but it's the taking a breath and stepping back and really thinking about, okay, remind myself, I don't know this person. I don't know how long it took them to set up this photo. Great photo, good for you. Be happy for the person, but don't take on that as some sort of personal affront to me because I don't look that good, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. And that's the thing that over the years I've learned, that that's what my brain wants to do straight away. It's when I see something, or I see someone, or I see a picture or something else. Like, we're talking a lot about social media, but it's not just social media, right? We compare ourselves to others in person as well, people in the gym, people we come across.
Work.
It could be, and it might not just be with the way that we look. It might be the way that some people handle their week. You know, it might be the way that, you know, oh, this mum at school manages to do everything. She's super mum and I can't do anything. Like, it can be all these different areas of our lives. It's not just the way that we look. But I know for me, my self-talk has always been like straight away negative, putting myself down in comparison. And I just have to take that step back and remind myself that, okay, why do I feel even the need to start bashing myself on this?
Does this still happen often for you?
It definitely happens, yeah. And I mean, again, it depends what sort of frame of mind I'm in. If I'm struggling mentally at the time, it will happen even more so. And I mean, it's very different areas of life too, right? Like, you know,
that's my next question.
We've been very open about our infertility journey, shall we say, and
awesome journey,
our IVF journey, sure. And so, you know, it even involves that. Like, if anybody has struggled with infertility or going through this, like, you will 100% know what I'm talking about, where literally a post comes up on social media, somebody else is pregnant.
Everyone is having kids except you.
Yeah. Like, everybody's pregnant. You know, I happen to, one of my jobs is I happen to work in a place with a lot of pregnant women come in and out as clients. So
A lot.
So, again, I'm in that space. Oh,
they were just recently pregnant.
Yeah. So I'm in that space a lot as part of one of my jobs that I do during the week. I'm in that space a lot because obviously if you find out you're pregnant, you're going to, like, a lot of people announce it on social media and it's a fantastic time for them. But for those of us who can't fall pregnant, it is almost a slap to the face.
Or I'm working to.
You know, every time you see one of those posts, and I'm not going to lie and say that the thought doesn't go through my head every time I see something like that to think, why not me? Why do you get pregnant and I don't? You know, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I do this? So I'm not going to lie and say that those thoughts don't go through my head. And as your point before, Matt, it's unfair on that person. Like, they don't know that I'm thinking these things, but it's still unfair to them. It's unfair to me.
You also don't know, from a pregnancy standpoint, what it took them to get there.
You don't know how long it took them. Correct.
Or how scary
what they've gone through.
Or how scary the term's been.
You have no idea. Mm. And maybe you do know, you know, and maybe it was easy for them, but ultimately that's still not their fault. And it's unfair to hold that sort of judgment against them.
Yes.
When, you know, it's just a situation that's sometimes out of your control. Mm. So I definitely have, like you say, how often do I go through this? I would say over the last 4 years, a lot.
It doesn't skip my attention as well, where it's like a friend or someone I know is like, oh, we're having a baby. And it's like, I'm so happy for you. Fuck, it'd be nice if it was us.
Yeah. And I think it's just that you're happy for someone, but it's a tinged with a sadness. And
it's just a reminder. It's a reminder of what you don't have. And that probably, I think, leads into the next question I was going to ask. Like, why does this hold people back?
I actually think, though, this particular example is, it still translates to like a body image issue or a health and fitness goal where, because I've had that in the past too, right, where then you see somebody put up something that they've, you know, on social media that they've bought new jeans and a new dress size or, you know.
They had a great result from their program.
They had a great result from their program or they've done this or they've done that.
Yep.
And, again, it's, I think for me and my experience, it's that I'm happy for you, but there's also a tinge of sadness or negative self-talk that goes with that. And that's the part that can really catch you out if you let it. And that's the part that then can roll into comparing yourself, I think, to others. So for me now, like, that's where I've had to recognize the difference. Does that make sense?
Continue.
Well, I think, like, I know we'll talk more about tips later, but I think while it's front of mind, I just want to say with that, I think the one thing that I've had to learn over the time is that I'm not necessarily ever going to shut that off. I think sometimes for me in the past, it's always been an effort to like, I can't do that. I can't do that. I need to stop doing that. And sometimes I've had to look at myself and my mental health and say like, okay, parts of these things, I'm never going to be able to switch off because they're out of my control. I don't actively seek out these thoughts. So if I'm not actively seeking them out, how can I control them? So rather than putting in all my effort to say, stop doing that, stop having these thoughts, I put my effort into being logical when I'm having them. Like, okay, I'm having these thoughts. Take a step back. You know, maybe count from 5 to 1. Take a deep breath and actually really like think to myself like, huh, why did I think that? And then maybe think about that more so than the stop doing it. That's where my focus has gone. Because, as I said, I'm no psychologist, but I just have learned over the years for myself that, okay, if I am not actively seeking these thoughts out, then how am I supposed to control them?
Mm-hmm.
So control the outcome of them not having them, if that makes sense.
It does.
So that's where I've sort of gone with it. But sorry, what was your question?
Oh, just to sort of, let's touch on why it holds people back.
I think it holds people back because in my experience, you can go into that negative loop. So it can put you back because you're then in a negative headspace often. Like there's not a lot of people that can compare themselves to others and use it as fuel to do better.
Tell you what though, it can be useful when you do.
As I said, I didn't say that it never happened.
Yeah.
I just said that there's not a lot of people that can do that. So I'm not saying that it is always going to hold you back because I truly do believe that there are some people out there that can compare themselves to others and use it as fuel to push harder.
Sneak preview for the tip section. You are doing this podcast with someone who's developed that ability.
Yes, yes. And I think that's been widely documented too as well, like with certain sporting people over time. I think it's been widely documented that some people have this mentality where they can be in compared to other people or they can be put down and actually use it as fuel to be better. So I don't want to discount that.
Well, it's just competitiveness, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't want to discount that because I think that it is 100% real. I'm just talking in my experience from where I'm at. I obviously come from the other side. So I come from the side of if I get in this headspace, it's going to pull me backwards.
If I say that you're just speaking your truth, would you punch me in the face? Would you reach over this table and just fucking drop me?
No.
Would you think about it?
I mean, the sentiment is correct. It's just that term that I just don't like.
That your truth or my truth is to you as I'm trying is to me. It's just a fucking dog whistle.
It's just an annoying phrase. Like the sentiment I get from the phrase, it's just I don't like that phrase.
I understand. But now
and I feel like it's been hijacked and used
Hijacked.
Yeah, it's been used maliciously, which is when I started, it annoyed me.
Okay.
Like, it's been used maliciously for malicious reasons, which is why it now annoys me. This, use a different phrase.
This has separate podcast topic energy.
That's like just a little rant for me. But
you can only speak from your perspective.
The sentiment is there.
Yes. Oh, I understand.
The sentiment is correct that for me, we are the opposite in that respect.
Well, I didn't used to be, though.
No.
We'll save that for the tip section. Because I will share my truth.
Yep.
About how at least that's developed over time for me. But I'd like to speak about why it holds you back. Because for most people, it holds you back because it incentivizes you to fucking stop putting in effort. Oh, well, I'll never get like that. I'll never be that good. I'll never do what that person's done. So why am I even trying?
Yeah, and I think that just leads back to the whole negative spiral.
It affects decision-making, and it probably is going to encourage you to make poor decisions. And I'll tell you something. For all you know, you might be doing a really bang-up job making kick-ass progress, and because you've at the wrong place or the wrong time or the wrong frame of mind, compared your 1% to someone else's 99%, knocks you off track, affects your decision making, and all of a sudden you're off course. When you may not have realized this, you may have been like right where you needed to be and doing what you needed to be doing at that given moment, and you've just gone fucking off the rails.
Like, could not agree more. I think that's perfectly said, because we all know that this now, if you've listened to us for any sort of length of time, you know it takes a long time to create permanent change in a lifestyle in your life. It takes a long time.
And it's fucking hard.
To create sustainable permanent change to your body shape and to your weight loss goals.
And to keep it.
And, sustainable change.
That's the hardest part.
So it takes time.
Yes.
And I think that's often where this comes in. Because it takes so much time, and it often does, to create permanent change, it does leave your mind open to, obviously, we've always spoke about that initial phase when you start a new program. It's like the honeymoon phase, right?
Mm.
You're invested.
Excited.
Your mindset's the highest it's going to be.
Yeah.
You're excited to learn some new things and to get started. It's that middle chunk that is long, and it's sometimes tedious. And it can
sometimes.
Be, and it can be... insert adjective. Like, it is long and it is hard, and it can sometimes be very uncomfortable, and it involves sometimes a lot of sacrifice.
Yes.
And
vulnerability.
And obviously that to me is where your mindset gets opened up to potentially letting in those negative thoughts. Am I doing the right thing? Should I have tried something different? This person then has lost more weight than me. Should I change what I'm doing? This person in the gym looks better than me. Maybe I should do their workout plan instead.
Yeah.
Like that middle chunk I often find, but it's also the middle chunk which takes sometimes the longest to see the changes. It's the seeing the changes to me that can really open yourself up to possibly this negative comparing yourself to others and this negative cycle that your mind can then go in. And you're right, it can completely derail you. And I think that that's where we harp on as well, right, is like the small wins, because sometimes that middle chunk, you will sometimes go through a long stretch and potentially see minimal changes technically in how your clothes are fitting, things like that. Doesn't mean that things aren't working. It just means that sometimes there's a long stretch of time between potentially seeing some benchmark changes. And that's the time that I think you open yourself up to that self-negative talk, and it can be coming from outside influences.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, totally right what you said about it, can completely derail you. And you may be on the right track and you may be getting there and you may be having changes. You just personally haven't seen them, because often we're the last people to see our own changes,
often,
right?
Always.
Because we're the most always. Self-critical. So
we're also the ones that look the most.
We are the ones that look the most.
We're paying the most attention.
Yes. So we're the last to see it. So the changes might be being made, but because we are getting restless, we're getting impatient, you know, it is easy then in that particular middle chunk, I find,
okay.
of of your weight loss path to be derailed?
I think it's a note we've got here that's worth mentioning, that it can shift you over to a place where you focus more on what you don't have or what you haven't done at the expense of what you do have and you have done.
Yeah.
So it's a scarcity mindset.
Mm.
So you look at things like, oh, well, I haven't done what that person's done, or I haven't got what they've got. Well, I bet you've done some pretty good things to get to where you are. You look at like a someone looking to improve their health, body shape, confidence, energy, you name it. And you look at someone who is doing things or has achieved things that you think, oh, well, gee, I want to do that. Why can't I have that? Take into account, you don't know how far along they are.
No.
They may have had a hell of a head start.
Yes.
And that's the thing I notice for myself. If I talk to someone who's at the beginning stages of this, and this is me talking with my, you know, from a coaching standpoint, if I talk to someone who's at the beginning stages, the only difference I see between me and them is that I have had a 20-plus year head start.
Yeah.
That's the only fucking difference.
Yeah.
Now, with that 20-plus year head start means I've had 20-plus years to make all the fuck-ups that you're about to make.
Yeah.
And then learn from them. And then improve and go up and go down and go left and right in all manner of different directions to get to where we are. It's just a fucking head start.
Yes.
But we all start at the same point. But when you look at what someone else has done, you don't know what their past was.
No.
How much metabolic abuse did they subject themselves to compared to you? More, less, whatever. It's out of your control anyway. You don't know where they started from. There's so many factors that come into it. If you're looking at yourself, well, why can't I lose the weight like that person over there? I bet you started in completely different spots. I bet you have different backgrounds. I bet you have different bad habits. Metabolisms are different. Experiences are different. Age is different. Like, there's all these different things that add up. It's not just a one-to-one. They've done this and I haven't done that.
Yeah.
There's all these different things that factor into it. And the biggest one for me is just, for me, it's the head start. Mm. They may have just started sooner than you, but your time will come.
Yeah.
But also, ultimately, you can't really control the rate at which you change.
No.
Because you'll see some people, right, they'll start a new program or whatever, and they will just approach it like they've been shot out of a cannon, and they will change quickly, real quick, which is where you'll get some people like, oh, look at what this person's done in their first 12 weeks. And you think to yourself, oh, fuck, why couldn't I do that in my first 12 weeks?
Yeah.
Here's what you don't see. You don't see that very often the people that get the biggest changes the quickest are the ones that get complacent the fastest and go backwards sooner. I see that because I do it for a fucking living.
Yeah.
I see the ones that have the best, personally, from my perspective, the ones that have the best success long-term are the ones that start slow and build up.
Mm.
The ones that start fast, like the old bull in the china shop, and just go fucking hell for leather, and, oh, look at what I've done in 12 weeks, they're the ones where 6 months later, they're more closer to where they first started than where they are today. The best results I ever see come from people that start slow, build up, and grow into it.
Yeah.
And so it's hard at the initial – this is where my perspective is different to yours. For people like that, the hard part isn't the middle part. The hard part's the start.
Yeah.
And it's because – you have to put in what feels like a disproportionate amount of effort for a minimal return. Mm. And that's the hard part. And that's where these comparisons can be really dangerous, because you think, man, I'm working my fucking ass off and I've barely fucking changed. This bitch over here, in the same period of time, has fucking dropped 3 dress sizes in 3 months. Fuck you. Don't get too caught up in stuff like that, because that person that's made those changes that quickly is about to face very different challenges to you.
Yeah.
Because One trap you fall into when you have results like that early is you think, I've got this licked. This is fucking easy. I'm going to just cruise all the way back to square one. Because you know, because if it comes easy at the start for some people, you think this is how it is all the entire way through.
Yes. I think one thing that you just mentioned there is perfect way to sum it up is that this is going to be a challenge. You are going to face a challenge regardless of which point you're at or how you do it.
Yes.
The challenge will come. It's just about when it comes.
And also what it is.
What it is.
Because the challenges that someone faces when they are off to a slow start are going to be different to the challenges someone faces when they are shot out of the cannon and just fucking attack it right from the word go. Both, if I have two people I'm looking at those two different situations, I can tell them both. You are both going to face challenges and they're going to be very different. You, slow starter, have to face the challenge now of sticking with this long enough to start to feel the differences. Then you'll see the differences. Where you over here that's had the fast start, your challenge is a word that starts with C and ends in complacency.
Yeah.
Because you're going to hit that wall fucking soon because you're going to think to yourself, and I know this, I've been there, you're going to think to yourself, I got this figured out. I'm on the fucking home stretch. I've just started. Nope. That's how you get the ones that are just like up and down all the time because they get to this certain point and they get comfortable.
Yes.
So my point there as to why, how this holds people back is it just you're comparing different situations and you're thinking that the person that's having the success, they're not going to have struggles with this. Oh, yes, they are. They're just fucking different to yours. I see this.
Yeah.
So, like the note here we've written out, and shout out to us for writing great notes. All journeys are different. They're chalk and cheese. Yeah, they are. People are different. The way we think is different. The way we learn and retain information is different. The way we perceive things is different. And all that stuff, by the way, it all evolves.
Yeah.
As we grow into a process, as we develop habits, develop routines, as we gain experience, the way that we look at things changes. So let's, before we move into the tips, let's give a couple of personal and professional examples here of how we have done this in the past, because I've been guilty of this fucking heaps from a personal standpoint and a professional standpoint.
Go on.
Oh, there's two of us here.
I know. You can start.
Okay. Well,
I think I've given a few examples already, so you go.
There's one you haven't given yet. I'm keen to get your perspective on, and I'll pick your brains on this, and I'll start by my side of things. From a business standpoint, comparing yourself, for me, comparing myself to other fitness business owners was a killer because it takes away what you're good at. It robs you of the things you're improving on. And you, like I said before, you develop a scarcity mindset. So I used to put myself as a coach or a PT and or a business owner and or entrepreneur up against other people around me. And all it does is it fostered a feeling of not good enough.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly destructive. Especially now in hindsight, it's like, no, but I was always good enough, more than good enough. But what helped with that was, and this is the tip we'll get into shortly, the unfollow button is a fucking godsend on insert social media platform here. But comparing the results my clients would get to other trainers' clients, like fucking the definition of pointless.
Yeah.
You know? From a personal standpoint, it's just things like, oh, well, they got bigger muscles than me, they're leaner than me, they're faster than me, they're stronger than me. Like, I fell into that trap for years and years and years until it occurred to me that what if instead I spent more time focusing on just maximizing what I've got? Because how many people can honestly sit there and say to themselves, I have maximized my abilities? Not many.
Yeah.
Framing that in my head helped a lot. So they would be the biggest examples I can give. I'm happy to say I'm at the stage now where I do still now compare myself to others.
Yeah.
I still do compare myself to other successful business owners and coaches, but it's no longer from the standpoint of what I don't have. It's from the success leaves clues standpoint. This is some advice I would give, like sort of stepping into the tip section here.
Yeah.
But if you're going to compare yourself to someone else who's had success, I actually think it could be productive as long as you seek to understand and even speak to them about what they've done, what's been hard for them, what they've learned, and what advice they would give you or what advice they would give to themselves when they first started, if they can go back in time now. So I still do compare myself to others in that way, but it's more like, what are they doing well and where could I potentially level up my game as a result?
Yeah.
It's no longer looking at, oh, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. Like, no, no, no. If you're successful, I now know through my own experience that you've had to work hard to get there. You've had times when you wanted to give up and you've been tested and there's things that I can learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's turn this back to you.
What was the one you wanted to ask?
When we used to have our gym, you used to always talk about having goals that were someone else's and not yours. And you used to talk about comparing your body to the body of other female trainers.
Yeah.
Lay it on me.
Well, I think not just female trainers. I think over the years I've compared my body to a lot of other women's bodies. But when it was like when we had our gym and I was working in the fitness space exclusively, I think that I definitely fell in the trap of looking at other female bodies, like trainers that we knew around that time. Like a lot of them were like figure competitors, you know, like a lot of them were preparing for competitions and they were, you know, they didn't look like me. So they didn't have my body shape. So that's where I definitely got in my head around that time of, you know, do I look like a personal trainer? You know, do I look good enough to be a trainer? Am I supposed to look like that?
By the way, yes is the answer. Yes, you did look good enough.
Thank you.
No question asked.
So that was definitely a phase where I got into that headspace and I had to work through that.
Yep.
But it's not the first time and it won't be the last time that I see a woman's body shape. And I think there is that thought process that goes through my head is like, oh, why can't I look like that?
You know what it is? Everyone wants what they don't have.
100%. I was like, just literally about to say to you, like, I'll sometimes see a woman in the gym and she's tall and beautiful and she has like a really great symmetrical body shape and she has like long hair, straight hair, and
doesn't wear a bonnet when she goes to sleep.
Doesn't wear a bonnet. And you know, she just has
Assume. How much so, work have gone into straightening that hair?
Now, I'm not tall. And I'll never be tall.
Oh, I mean,
like
standing next to me, you're not tall.
No, well, I'm 5 foot, what, 4? Maybe 5'5" if I really push my luck.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
We need to measure you up.
I think I'm like 165 centimeters, something like that. I think it's like 5'5", maybe.
Okay. And it could be shorter.
I don't know. Anyway, so I'm not tall, really, on the grand scheme of things. I'm not the shortest person, but I'm not tall.
Okay.
And I don't have long, straight hair, and I just never will.
Unless you go hard and straighten it.
Yeah. But I, you know, so there's certain things about myself. They're just two examples, right? Like I have very pale complexion.
I knew naturally. That was coming. I was waiting for this.
Like, well, that's just naturally my complexion is like very pale. It's pretty much what you, like if you're watching this, what you see now, this is my complexion.
We're not tanned today.
I'm not tanned. This is my natural hair.
You'll fix it soon, though.
This is just what it is.
Yeah.
And so there's certain things about me that would, as you say, often you want what you don't have, right? So there are certain things about me that I would love to be different, but over the years I've had to embrace them and love them to say, no, 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 this is me. This is just me and there's nothing wrong with it.
No, I completely agree. I used to not want to be tall.
Mm.
because, like, I would never make it as a ninja.
No.
Much to my dismay.
No, you're not stealth.
No, I'm not built for stealth. So I never wanted to be tall when I was younger. I never wanted to have red hair because, you know, ginger.
Red hair, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I sort of grew out of that. But it's the same thing, like my martial arts process the last number of years. I've been doing that for a long time now, actually, now that I think about it. And it's the ultimate, doing martial arts has been the ultimate way to show you what the strengths that other people have, but can highlight your own strengths too. I'll give you an example. So I'm pretty good at what I do from a martial arts standpoint, like without sounding like I'm too up my own ass. Like I've worked hard to get where I am, and I'm continuing to work hard. And
yes,
that fucking, those black belts are coming. Now, when we do certain drills on the mat, there are things I'm fucking terrible at that other people just make look easy and graceful and spectacular. Things like spinning kicks, like forward and backwards rolls, where I'm more like a hippo that's fallen over.
Yeah.
You know, my spinning kicks you can see coming from fucking two suburbs away, and you've got 5 minutes to fucking get out of the way. You know, same thing with speed, right?
Yeah.
There's guys and girls on the mat there that if I do a wrong move can put like half a dozen punches on me before I realize what's happened and my fucking ribs are barbecued, you know? And you can then think to yourself, well, I'm not as fast as them.
Mm.
I'm not as agile as them. You know, I can't do as many jumping spin kicks in a row as they can. And that's a dangerous thing because you then look at things like, oh, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. But here's what I do have. I do have reach and incredibly long arms that no one can get in on.
No.
And even longer legs. And I hit fucking hard. And if I touch you, you're going to sleep.
Yeah.
And if I get a hold of you, you're not escaping. You know, so I prefer to focus. The point of me saying this now, I prefer to focus on maximizing the strengths that I do have. Because strengths are strengths. And I know there's people that I train with, because they said this, the people that run rings around me from a speed and agility standpoint have said to me, I would love to hit like you do and kick as hard as you do with the force and that. It's like, this is my entire point here. Everyone wants what they don't have.
Yes.
Put your effort into maximizing what you do have and you'll be pretty proud of what you've got and what you're capable of. And just a phrase I've learned is strength on strength.
Mm.
Take your strengths and build on them.
Mm.
Make them even better than what they are. You start to feel pretty good about yourself. So maybe a bit of a digression there, but just the martial arts process for me the last few years has been a great reinforcement of this, of how much you could easily compare yourself to someone else because, oh, well, that person can go and do a head kick at a moment's notice. I have to get warmed up.
You just stretch straight
and out. And do a little bit of stretching. And then I can hit those head kicks, but it also depends on certain legs.
Just wait there.
Yeah, give me a sec, you know. But it's like you compare yourself to someone else. You probably don't know this. They're probably comparing themselves to you too.
Yeah.
For the things that you've got that they don't.
Well, I think like this, we should roll into tips because I think that let's just make that our first tip because I think that that's a really good one.
Sure.
Which is you if you feel like this, chances are like other people feel this too. So it's not just one-sided that you're comparing yourselves to everybody else.
An easy example for that is when you go to the gym, and this is I was guilty of this when I was younger. You go to the gym, and because you don't know fully what you're doing or you're not fully confident in the gym, you just assume that everyone else in the gym knows exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until you start to get some experience and you start to know what you're looking at until you realize, this whole fucking room is the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
And you then realize, and this is just the benefit of experience, is everyone in the gym is looking at someone else wondering, am I doing it wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a really good point.
So I think the first tip we've got written down here is, I think for me, it's my favorite one.
Yeah.
look for inspiration, but remember why you're doing this. And this ties back into what I was saying before about myself personally. I still do compare myself to others, but to look for clues.
Yeah.
Where can I improve? This person that seems to be more successful than me, I want to learn from them. Where'd they start? What were the hard parts? Where could they have given up? What advice would they give for someone in my current position?
Yeah.
Those three words, success leaves clues, are priceless with this. Because that's where you can start to, from speaking my truth here, that's where you can start to move away from the negative comparison angle to look at comparing yourself to others and getting positive improvements from it. Is that success does leave clues, easy for me to say. What can I learn from this person?
100%. And I feel like that's where we need to get away from our feelings of inadequacy and jealousy. Like, jealousy is just like a useless emotion, but we all have it and it seems to hound us forever.
Yeah.
Because often when you get into that negative space with comparing yourself to others, a lot of it is coming from a place of jealousy or envy or why not me mentality.
Scarcity.
I think those are the sort of emotions that it can evoke, and that's where we want to get away from that. If we want to get away from leaning into any of that, and we want to lean into, well, maybe they are just doing some things better and what can I learn, you know, from them. Or maybe they're not doing anything better than me.
They've done it for longer.
Mm. Or maybe they're just doing a completely different program that is actually going to probably backfire in their face, give it a couple of months.
Or so maybe they have different goals to you.
I'm not going to learn anything from this person. I'm just going to appreciate the fact that they've done something good for, and they're happy about it. Great for you. But you don't, so there's not necessarily something to be learned always, but I think it's getting away from those negative emotions like jealousy, envy, scarcity, and trying to move it to something that's a little bit better in terms of what can I learn, or just a thing of, like in my fertility example, just a thing of for me to be able to say to somebody, congratulations, I'm really happy for you.
Mm.
I've learned nothing from that experience because there's nothing I can learn in that particular experience. That's but it doesn't mean that I have to let my own jealousy and envy take over in that situation. I can just see it for what it is and I'm happy for you and that's it.
Yeah. You've got here as the second tip, here comes the word, perspective is needed, which is what we've been talking about the entire time.
I think it literally is just that, right?
That's this podcast, basically.
It is literally just having that perspective and taking a step back and taking a breath. And remember, when we are emotional, we are going to think emotionally.
Mm.
And sometimes we need to take a step back before we make any decisions or go any further with a train of thought. Take a step back and have a clear head before you go any further.
Generally, the worst decisions we make tend to be ones that are emotional.
Yes.
Not all the time.
Yes.
Not all the time, because I will counter that. I have to say, starting a health, weight loss, transformation journey is an emotional decision. So I'm not going to say it's all bad, because you have to be in an emotional state to make that commitment.
I would counter by saying, if you are in a negative emotional state, if you are in a negative emotional mindset, they are some of the worst times to make any sort of decision.
They can be, but also a negative emotional mindset can be what starts someone on the right track.
I was going to say, it can be.
There is a bit to balance there.
There is, yes.
What I would be personally comfortable saying is that more often than not, bad decisions get made emotionally.
Just take a breath. Just take a breath and have a little bit of perspective before you start thinking too deep into that initial emotional reaction.
You are correct. Because even if I use my example of starting a process starts emotionally, even once the emotions die down, if you have a moment where it's like, fuck, I hate this so fucking much, get me out of here, even if those emotions die down for a moment and you still feel the same, it's the right decision to make.
Yeah.
You've given it that time to breathe.
Take a breath.
Yeah.
Just take a breath, and before you allow your brain to go too deep dive into what your initial reaction is.
Now, two more tips here, and this third one is a massive favorite of mine that if you feel it's the right thing to do, and I can speak to this as a great move, the unfollow button is gold.
So this is the social media example. Yes. So if you're struggling a lot with...
If you're fucking doom scrolling, if you are doom scrolling, looking at other people living their best lives...
And it's affecting your life.
And it's affecting you.
Like, negatively.
It's affecting your mentality, the way you feel about yourself, or it's affecting it's taking time away from your friends, your family, your hobbies. Your own goals. Test out the unfollow feature. Take it from me. It is the fucking best part of every social media platform because, man, my unfollow button got a heavy workout for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I've curated the list of things or people, whatever, that I follow, and it is real finite.
Oh, yeah. Now. And it evolves. Like, I still sometimes people come up and I'm like, pages will come up and I'm like, why am I following this person? And
then same, yes.
It's like an ongoing thing.
When did I ever do this?
Unfollow. Like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah. So that is a great function. Because it, one, has a better chance of getting you off your fucking phone.
Yeah.
Like, general life advice, get off your fucking phone.
Yeah.
You know, but also then just frees up the space to go and do more rewarding things.
Mm.
Go hang out with your family. Go see your friends. Go for a fucking walk.
Read a book.
Which then comes into the last tip we've got here.
Yes.
In fact... maybe just limit your time in general. And so by time, we mean the time you spend fucking scrolling endlessly on your phone.
Thinking about other people,
looking about other people. How about just unplug for a bit? Like, I can speak to this. Like, even though, full transparency, our business runs on social media. Like, there are pros to it, for sure. But every week, every Monday, for example, I look at the report my phone sends me of my screen time for the previous 7 days.
Mm.
And I'm always monitoring it with the view of the screen time I do have, time that is spent productively, be it work, talking to friends, talking to family, helping people versus just mindless shit.
Yeah.
So I can definitely speak to the benefits of unplugging and deliberately and strategically unplugging from a mental health and a physical health, because they go hand in hand, and a productivity standpoint, good move.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that?
I don't think so. I think definitely screen time monitoring, make sure you're not doom scrolling for long periods of time. So I think that it's a good idea to monitor your screen time.
Do you ever catch yourself out when you doom scroll?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm not going to say I've beaten this entirely. I still sometimes will catch myself doom scrolling, but I will catch myself. And it's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Same. I'll be sitting on the couch and I will have gone on there to look something up, maybe like a book review or something.
Oh, you get distracted.
And then
I
just keep flicking, you know, and it's just like,
why am I here? What is this?
How did I just lose 2 hours of my life?
So, like, we're not going to sit here and say, oh, we got this fucking sorted out.
No.
But it just,
you're still going to get stuck doing it.
Through consciously calling it out, it just becomes easy to pick yourself up on it.
I think for me as well, expanding on that just lastly is just to think about what you're spending your emotional energy on.
And who.
So you've just got to sometimes set boundaries for yourself. So
great advice.
And wherever that might be. So whether it's social media, we spoke a lot about social media, whether it's anything else, whether it's maybe a particular group of friends in your life, maybe it's certain things. If you feel like that it's best for your mental health to start setting some boundaries, then that's what's best. And I feel like it can't be questioned, you know? And I'll give you a good example. Again, it comes back to the fertility side of things. Sure. There is a show, if you're in Australia, you might know this show, I don't know, but there's a TV show apparently that is follows couples doing IVF.
My mum watches that show. She's telling me about it.
So I have not watched this show. Disclaimer. I have been asked by several people in my life who know that we are going through IVF whether we're watching this show.
Hang on. Why the fuck would we want to watch that?
And this was my honest answer to them is no, I don't watch the show. I can't watch that show. There's nothing about the idea of watching that show that interests me.
Where's the appeal in that?
So, and everyone that I've said this to have sort of got it straight away and said, yeah, I understand, it's a little too close to home. But this is a prime example of what is going to help or hinder you emotionally.
Mm.
Now, that show, I know without even watching it, that show is going to not help me whatsoever, and it is actually going to be more taxing on my emotional energy than anything else. So you have to protect your emotional energy and space and make sure that you are being very strategic, whether it's social media, whether it's TV shows, whether it's friendship groups, people, a particular person, a family, anything. If you if you flag that as a bit of an extra emotional strain for you, a bit of an extra emotional output that could potentially lead you in a different direction, that then is something that you need to monitor. And I'm not saying cut people out of your lives or, you know, it's easy in my example just to say.
I wouldn't rule it out.
It's easy in my example just to say, I'm not just going to watch the TV show, right? So that's an easy answer. But when it comes to people maybe that aren't close in your lives, it's a little bit more difficult. But the whole idea is that just to be mindful of boundaries and protecting how much emotional energy that you can put into certain things.
I want to throw this out there, try this on for size, because I was thinking something very similar. Tell me if this is on the right track. Look at what you're doing, what you're watching, who you're watching, who you're listening to, things like that. Is it worth asking this question? Does this add or take away from my energy?
Yeah.
If it adds in a positive way, I might keep doing this.
Great.
If it takes away, if I'm being honest and it takes away, how do I reduce, limit, unfollow?
Set a boundary.
Set a boundary, remove. Am I on the right track with this?
Yes. That's for me has made a big difference for me in this is one of the tips I would say is learn where your emotional energy is going and set boundaries for yourself where needed. Because I can't, like that show, I can't watch it because I can't take on, because I know if I watch that, because I know that feeling of what those women in that show are going through, I would take that on. I would take their story on I just know myself and I know the way my brain works. And I would take their story on to be an extra emotional load for me. And I can't take that on because I'm at the top level with my own. Mm. So I can't take on somebody else's. So I just know myself and I know what I would do. And I know then it could possibly also lead me to questioning, you know, the path that we're on, you know, because every IVF journey is different. They're all going to take different medication. They're all going to be seeing different specialists. Different
protocols. So
it's like, it is quite a good comparison
different
with
outcomes.
Weight loss, right? So different outcomes. So if I watch that show and I see all these people doing different things, is it going to open up me questioning what we're doing, the path we're on? Whereas I wouldn't be questioning
that. So it could break your focus.
It could break my focus. Yep. It could potentially derail our path.
Yep.
And it's also going to be, and I know myself, and I know I'm going to take on those women's stories as an emotional baggage for myself, and I don't want to do any of that.
I know for me, the thought of watching that show is just like, this is fucking pointless. Why would I watch this when I've been living this for the last few years? I don't need any more reminders of this.
I mean, so everyone, like, but that's just a prime example of me knowing my emotional boundary.
Okay.
And I know that I can't take that TV show on.
So you don't?
So I'm just not going to watch it at all. Okay. I didn't even watch the ads for it, to be honest with you.
I didn't even know it existed until my mom told me.
It's easy to avoid that because I don't really watch TV.
It's also that part of it.
So it's easy to avoid, but
there's no park There's no hockey stick. There's no fighting
there's
in
no
that
football.
Show. There's no footballs being thrown or kicked or people being tackled. Why would I watch this?
Literally, if I'm going to watch TV,
it's sports.
Sports or it's like Big Bang Theory. Like old reruns of Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Like something mindless that I don't have to think about. So
right.
That's in the very rare occasion I watch TV. But again, that comes, I think, back to perspective. You need to really know yourself and you need to start getting in touch with knowing these things about yourself and how you react to certain things. And it's all about learning over time how your brain is going to react to something, where your limits need to be, and start setting yourself up.
Sounds like you're suggesting just taking responsibility, owning who you are, taking responsibility and putting yourself in the best positions where you can.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you want to add, or do we wrap this one up?
I think we've gone on long enough, so let's wrap it up. We did speak earlier about social media. We actually do, as I mentioned earlier.
Speaking of social media, come follow us.
A Facebook group.
Wow.
Now, if you feel like it will be helpful for you, it is a Facebook. It is a Facebook group for people.
Like-minded people.
People who like the show, who are
looking for support.
Looking for support.
Or ideas.
On the health and fitness path of their own, obviously. Now, if you think it's going to be helpful for you, definitely look us up. It is the Weight Loss Podcast Facebook group.
If not, then don't.
Yeah.
The perks of content these days is that you can consume anything however you want.
Correct.
If it's going to add to you.
Some people find it super helpful.
If joining the group's going to add to you, come join it. If not, don't.
If you join it and don't like it, unfollow it. It's very simple to do.
When we talk about, it's funny, like when I talk about, you know, the unfollow button, I'm including us in that too.
Absolutely.
Like if the stuff that we say
is not
helping, fucking get rid of us.
Yeah. Yeah. You can also email us podcast@theweightlosspodcast.com.
Why would someone email us?
You can email us with questions.
Feedback. Abuse. Tell Courtney how shit she is.
Anyway, that's it. We've spoken long enough.
Now let's do the official.
Oh, is this our way of ending the show?
Laptops are closed. Show is ended. So hopefully this has been of some value. We're going to get the hell out of here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for being the fly on the wall for our conversation. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Are you ready to share your success? Head over to our website for full access to our show notes, resources based on today's topic, and links to our Facebook group so you can share your story with our hosts and many others out there who are looking to achieve and maintain their health and fitness goals. You can find all that and more exclusively at theweightlosspodcast.com.